Dawn's haze barely glowed over the eastern hills when the first injured slave leaned against Miriam's doorframe and peered around her curtain.
"I've come from the plateau mud pits and have no way to pay you. Will you tend my wounds?"
He averted his eyes, drew a breath, and held it. Was he waiting for rejection?
"Yes, yes, come in."
Miriam rocked to her feet and hurried to welcome him before his courage failed. He stepped over the threshold, but hesitated after two steps onto her packed dirt floor.
"Others told me Israel's prophetess offered care for free, but I didn't believe it."
Miriam guided him to her sleeping mat, inspecting his wounds on the way. Besides the obvious cuts and bruises on his face, he bore deep whipping wounds on his mud-caked back.
"I'm certainly not opposed to payment, but I can't turn away a child of Abraham in need."
He laughed without humor.
"Well then, you'll likely meet several of Abraham's children today. The temperature is rising quickly, and the slave master's tempers rise with it."
Miriam eased him down on her mat, giving him only partial attention, while she listened for El Shaddai's guidance on proper treatment.
"Shaddai, you know I can't minister to your people without your instruction."
She'd been trained as a midwife by her friend Shifra, but treating injuries and wounds had come through years of experience and revelations from God, who alone knew the intricacies of the human body. The man must have noted her hesitation and pointed to his left side.
"I think my ribs are broken. The guard hit me in the face and belly after he whipped me, and then kicked my side when I doubled over. I need to get back to work before anyone notices I'm gone."
"Let's clean up your back first, and then I'll check your ribs and belly."
She could apply honey to his cuts without a vision to direct her, but she needed Shaddai's wisdom to detect internal injuries. Working quickly, she pleaded with God to speak, but he remained silent. Her heart pounded wildly.
"Shaddai, where are you? I feel like I've lost my right arm without your breath on my spirit."
"Lean back so I can check your belly."
Hands shaking, she pressed on the man's abdomen, and though it was obviously sensitive, the tenderness seemed commensurate with a simple gut punch.
"I don't think you're bleeding inside. I'll wrap your ribs for support so you can keep working."
Before she could turn to gather the strips of linen, he grabbed her arm.
"Thank you, prophetess. I'm sorry, I have no grain or milk to give for your services."
He dropped his eyes in shame. Miriam cupped his cheek as she had hundreds of plateau slaves before him.
"El Shaddai provides for my needs.
He is the one true God.
And one day, he will deliver us all from bondage."
The man's look of shame turned quickly to a bitter smile.
"I hope your healing talents are better than your prophetic skills. El Shaddai cast us aside when Joseph died."
"But he hasn't cast us aside," she said. "He speaks every day if we will only listen. We must never forget we're his chosen people."
The man winced, struggling to sit up.
"If this is what it means to be chosen by your God, I'd rather serve Anubis and take my chances in Egypt's afterlife."
"Get out."
A deep male voice intruded, and Miriam knew without looking that her nephew Eliezer had heard the slave's comment.
"You came to my daughter Miriam for help, but instead, you insult her. Now get out."
His size and bearing were even more imposing in Miriam's small room.
"I'm sorry,
The slave tried to stand, but Miriam pressed on his shoulders, forcing him back on her mat.
"You'll sit there until I wrap your chest, and you'll listen, without interruption, about El Shaddai and his good plan for Israel."
Miriam waved a finger at her nephew, on her way to the basket of linen bandages.
And you will stop frightening my patients.